Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Peace be with you. This month is known as Pastor's Appreciation Month. It actually started in 1994 when Focus on the Family started an initiative to help churches appropriately give thanks and appreciation for their pastoral teams. In 2002, though, it really became official when Hallmark started making cards to celebrate this month as well. But I can't think of maybe a better thing to do right now than in the middle of this COVID-19 coronavirus and all of it, what has been changed in the dynamics of leading the local church, the additional stress and learnings that have had to take place in such rapid time, that I can't think of a better time to stop in the middle of all of this and say thank you to the leaders of our churches, of your church, to say, we appreciate what you are doing in leading us during this time. I'm going to come back to that theme in just a moment, but let me give you two passages of scripture that really kind of frame the context for why there should be any kind of appreciation kind of focused on. Because most leaders, if they're like me, I love to say thank you to others. I love to honor others for what they have done. And I'm enjoying honoring the leaders of your church. I enjoy this. What's really hard for me is to receive appreciation, to receive honor. That's a very difficult thing. And I can tell you that your pastor and your team are wanting you to be cared for so much that the reflection of honor back to them is oftentimes a great challenge, but it's appropriate. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work, and live in peace with each other. See, what we're doing in this month is acknowledging our leaders. And according to this passage of scripture, there are three reasons why we're acknowledging them. Number one is they work hard among you. They do the due diligence of tending the flock, making sure that all of the aspects of your congregational life are tended to. They are also those who care for you in the Lord. These are the leaders who go to sleep at night praying for your church and wake up ready to say, Lord, how can I best serve those you've called me to pastor? And according to this passage of scripture, they admonish you. Now, that may not be something that maybe some of you would feel all that much I'm appreciative for. But boy, if you have leadership that love you, work hard on your behalf, and love you enough to challenge you to become the better version of yourself, yeah, that's somebody you ought to admire and acknowledge. Here's another passage of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So this verse and the one in 1 Thessalonians specifically target those who have assignments for this vocational call to ministry. We are all called in whatever vocation we have to be kingdom representatives. We're all called to, as it were, shepherd those that God gives us influence over. But we know there's unique callings for leadership within the body of Christ that in their gifting, they are serving a congregation's growth together, in not only becoming who God wants them to be, but in serving God's purpose in their context. And these verses of scripture help us to frame why it's appropriate to honor those who serve us that way. But I want to go back to what I said earlier. I can't think of a more appropriate time to honor pastors and leaders than during this season. You know, as a supervisor overseeing well over 150 churches, I have watched the unique challenge that sprung on us literally almost overnight when our churches were shut down due to the coronavirus restrictions on what we could do and how we could meet. how many pastors for the very first time had to jump in and launch ministries that we're unfamiliar with, but because of their commitment to the church, they were all in and finding the right answers of being able to broadcast their services, being able to extend their reach in different ways, helping to find new ways, creative ways to shepherd the flock and to contend for the community of the brothers and sisters, how to tend to those who have real needs but can't be served as they used to be. It's been a sprint for leaders, and it's been a test of the resilience of their souls. And I'm so grateful for the leaders of your church and others like them who have risen to this challenge, emboldened by the Holy Spirit and their deep commitment to serve, to be able to lead in ways that are faithful, finding ways for the church to not just gather, but to scatter, not just to do church when we gather, but be church when we're not present. And in some ways, this has awakened us to a whole new missional awareness of our calling as a congregation. And you can't get there without the leadership of the church taking point on that kind of challenge. I'm reminded that Appreciation Month is really a month where we just simply are offering encouragement to those who lead us, that we're coming alongside of them. You know, we all know that life has a way of discouraging us, and that really simply means that this is your courage. Things get robbed in your life just by living. The courage kind of gets, courage account, I guess, gets drawn on so dramatically during these times that discouragement is easy to fall prey to. And because of that, I know you've experienced that at personal levels yourself, and your leaders not only go through that personal challenge like you do, but it's added to the fact of how to care for a flock during this time without coming under that discouragement as well. So let me tell you four ways that pastors get discouraged. And the reason I'm talking about that is because you have the opportunity this month, as they've been doing every month with you, you have an opportunity this month to help pour courage back into those who lead you. That's not just your pastor and the team, but all those that God has given you in your life to serve you well. And so let me tell you, and I'm going to take it from Joshua chapter 1, who's probably, Joshua's got to be on all of our list of great leaders in the Bible. This incredible warrior who followed Moses, led the children of Israel into the promised land, that promise that had been given 400 years earlier, and now they're finally taking hold of it. They went through a change they had been waiting for all their life. And it's momentous. They are moving from being a wandering people to a people of clear destiny, purpose, where they're going to possess something that God has for them. And in many ways, that's the season the church is in now. We have been wandering around during this pandemic, trying to not only discover how to do what we need to do, but trying to discern the new realities that will face us when some level of normal interaction and the COVID isn't as restraining as it is. What has God taught us and how will he lead us? So during this kind of time right now, though, here's four things that will happen to almost every leader. And they happen to Joshua. And the reason I'm picking Joshua is because there is nobody in the Bible who received more encouragement than Joshua did. And he's the least likely candidate for it. Listen, I can tell you firsthand, those strong leaders that you admire and love, they're a pretty insecure bunch. And what I mean is they hold so much weight that sometimes they have a persona of presenting themselves that's not false, but serves the purpose of leading. But interior, there is the challenge constantly to measure up to their own expectation, much less those of others. So let me tell you what Joshua went through and what every leader will go through when they're leading God's people from wandering into being settled into a future that God has for them. Number one, what they'll do is they'll fall prey to what I call unwise comparisons. Listen to what it says in Joshua chapter 1. It says that the Lord spoke to Joshua, says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, why did he have to tell Joshua that? I mean, Joshua knew it. This was something that was everybody was well aware of, but God had to actually say it to him again. And what I see in that is so simple, that often our leadership is not defined by how we are offering our best gift to our context, But we're always measuring ourselves by how somebody else might be doing it and how they might be doing it better. We all fall prey to that in all of our lives, that we're looking for models that will help make us better. But sometimes what they do is they create a great deal of insecurity. We're going, dude, I'm never going to measure up to what that leader does. And here's the wonderful news that God said to Joshua. You don't have to be Moses. You get to be Joshua. And that's the thing that we need to encourage our pastors with. I mean, like you, I've got people I listen to on the internet. There are books I read. There are people I think just I admire incredibly. But when it comes to those who pastor me and who've been pastors in my life, my goal is not to compare them with anybody else. My goal is not to make them feel like they have to measure up to somebody else's standard. Well, they're not delivering like somebody else is doing. No, this is my time to encourage them, saying, I need you to be who you are, because who you are is what we need in this moment. See, that's what God was saying to Joshua. Don't unwisely compare yourself to somebody else. It'll set you into a mode of discouragement. And I'm telling you, if Moses could have led them into the promised land, he'd still be here. But he couldn't. It's going to take a Joshua kind of leadership. It's going to take you and your unique giftings. So I say to all the pastors and leaders on your team, you get to be the best version of yourself, because that's what your church needs. And that's what your flock wants you to be. They want to be who God has made you to be. That's what they want. And so I'm telling you, you encourage your pastor, say, thank you for being yourself, uniquely who you are. Now, what will go on in this passage of scripture is this phrase that's repeated over and over again by God to Joshua. One is, be strong and courageous. That's the first encouragement. Because, you know, Joshua's thinking, am I going to measure up? Am I going to be able to pull this off? And then God says to him again, be strong and very courageous. It's almost like that God wanted to say, hey, did you hear what I said the first time? Well, let me take a highlighter out and really push the limit of your understanding of this. Be strong and very courageous. And the third time that God spoke to Joshua and gave him this encouragement, here's the words he said. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Wow. It goes from, I want you to be strong and courageous. I really want you to be strong and courageous, to, you don't have an option. The way I've designed you, the work I'm doing in you, and my commitment to walk this out with you, you can't be anything other than courageous. The commandment is not an invitation to failure. The commandment is an invitation to a life that God says you can live. So all month today, we're saying what God says to people. We're saying, guess what? You need to be encouraged, because God wants you to be courageous. He wants you to know that you can do this, that what God's called you to be and to be for our congregation to lead in this time, you're up to the challenge, and the Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do that. So the first thing is the unwise comparisons that leaders will always make, and we fall prey to that all the time. But we keep coming back to, because we're encouraged by people who love us, say, no, we need you to be you. And be the best version of yourself. Don't cut that short. But don't try to imitate somebody else. Be you. Here's the second thing. Be strong and very courageous. All these three things. What else could have tipped the scales in terms of discouragement for Joshua, of all people? Well, I don't think it's just unwise comparison. I think it's failed attempts. You know, Joshua's been here before. 40 years ago, he and Caleb were sent out with the 12 spies, and they came back with a good report. 10 of them said, you know, we're grasshoppers. We're going to get stomped if we try to take on this land. But Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 spies who said, yes, we can do this, because God's called us to this moment. For 40 years, they wandered around until the generation who said we couldn't get in died. And they never saw. They saw it, but they never entered into that land of promise. The only two who did, Joshua and Caleb. You see, as sometimes what causes discouragement is we've tried really hard to do something and maybe we failed at it. I don't know of a leader who hasn't made mistakes or won't make mistakes. But what I'm looking for are leaders who learn from their mistakes, who know how to say, I'm sorry, I can do better than that, or who, in learning from that and are loving each other. Remember what that passage of scripture said for us. Live in peace with each other is not saying live in perfection with each other. It's saying let's live out this shared life together that we are failing forward, as it were. So pastors get discouraged because they try really hard and it flubs. I mean, their first attempt at doing something really good on video turned out kind of, you know, messed up, and they're wondering if they can ever get this thing right, or their message wasn't as good, and they're wondering, anybody going to show up next Sunday, as if that's the only reason people show up. There is a shared journey of human experience where the failure that is modeled before us of humanity in our leadership responded to rightly before God invites us to become what God wants us to be. And we're going to have failures along the way. What's the third thing that might have caused Joshua's discouragement? It's what I call the delay in promise. Remember what I just said a moment ago is that the original promise was 400 years ago. And Abraham, you're going to possess this land. Your descendants are going to, they're going to take over this place. And then 40 years before that, when he and Caleb said they could do it. Have you ever been in that place in your life where there's a promise that God has made, but the distance between the promise and its performance gets so long that you wonder if God ever said it? You begin to doubt it yourself. And what happens in that doubt is you're having to come to terms with how you would have interpreted the answer to your prayer. And learning to trust God who has spoken to you about what you're to lead in as a leader or where you're supposed to be in your life, you're having to trust God between the promise that he made and the provision or the answer of that promise. And the reason we don't like that delay is because usually the delay has something to do more with us than with God. It's that God is saying, I'm ready to give you this, but you're not ready to receive it. You'll get overwhelmed with it. This will go to your head. Something's going to happen, and you're going to ruin the very dream that you desire for your life. So what God is doing in that in-between delayed time that causes us discouragement is he's actually developing us to live in the dream rather than to destroy it. You know, I love when there's a promise and a miracle shortly attends it. Who doesn't? Who doesn't like when God intervenes in the natural order of things and just blows up all the rules and there's a great answer to prayer and we celebrate it? But what about the miracle of providence? What about the miracle that God can take all of our human frailties, all of the world's confusion and disorientation, and like even what we're experiencing COVID, what about the miracle of providence that he can take all of that and say, all things work together for the good? That's a pretty good-sized miracle in itself, isn't it? Delay can distress you and depress you and discourage you. But if you look at it as an opportunity for God to shape you, if you look at this as a way of God preparing the moment that's right, then you've not lost anything in that timing. It's because you've been readying yourself for it. Here's the fourth thing. I'm wondering when God said to Joshua, here's the land, now go take it. And basically said, I'm giving this to you, but you're going to have to fight for every inch of it. You know, it's kind of like, hey, if you're giving it to me, why don't you take care of all of that stuff, unwrap it and have it as a bow and we get to enjoy it, right? But God says, I'm going to give it to you, but your responsibility is to lay claim to it every step of the way. I wonder sometimes if the discouragement comes because of the fear of the conflict that is heading our way, the challenge we're having to face. You know, sadly, during this time, there have been a lot of pastors who've had to step away from their assignments. The challenges they face personally, economically, relationally, sometimes even the abuse they've taken from, gosh, I hate to say it, but even members of their own flock because they're not taking the stand they want them to take. This stuff adds up and can crush leadership. But I'm grateful that even in impending conflict, we know that God is gone before us. And the best of life does not come without a struggle. But we're up to it. And God will enable you every step of the way. No wonder God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Maybe actually Pastor Appreciation Month or Leader Appreciation Month started back then. Instead of focus on the family or Hallmark, it was God saying, let's encourage those who lead us. Let's acknowledge them for the hard work they do, the care they offer for us, and the challenge they constantly call us to become the better versions of who God says we can be. But there's one last, be strong and courageous, in Joshua chapter 1. And it's not from God. It's from the people. It's said one more time. When Joshua was put in leadership, all the leaders came to him and says, here's the only thing we ask, be strong and courageous. Congregations like yours have the opportunity to join God in saying the same thing. To your leaders, to say, be strong and courageous, because God is going to lead us into the future that he's promised for us. Pastor Appreciation Month. It goes out to those who lead you in your local church. And for me, it goes out to all the leaders that I have the privilege of serving throughout the Southern California district. Let's be strong, resilient. Let's encourage one another. And let's appreciate those that God has given us to lead us. God bless you.